Hörst gern zu? Podcasts sind in. Auch bei uns von Hallo Halle. Mit tollen Sendungen aus Unterhaltung und Information. Ton ab.
Herzlich willkommen zum dritten Podcast, den wir für das Domjubiläum aufgenommen haben. Im Jahr 2021 feiert der Dom zu Halle ein Jubiläum, 750 Jahre. Für 75 Stunden öffnet der Dom seine Pforten, durchgängig vom 1. Juli um 21 Uhr bis 14. Juli um Mitternacht. Im Programm stehen Ausstellungen, Online-Theater, Konzert, Festgottesdienst, Online-Festakt und ein mit Licht in Szene gesetzter Dom. Dieses Gespräch ist das zweite Teil der Vorstellung mit Künstlerinnen, die das Reliquienprojekt für das Domjubiläum vorbereiten. Rocco Pagel, Maria Wozzi, Henriette Eichinger, Gustav Franz und Angelika Wanek arbeiten an der Ausstellung zusammen, die Steinmodell, Videoinstallation und weitere Berührungspunkte beinhaltet. Jetzt gerade habe ich das Gespräch mit Maria Wozzi, die gerade in Griechenland ist, und sie macht einen Film für diese Installation. Und ihr werdet zuschauen, was die Idee vom Projekt ist und was ihr beim Domjubiläum zusehen könnt. Das Gespräch wird auf Englisch sein. Ich heiße Kasia Jaschuk und ich bin für Presse- und Öffentlichkeitsarbeit für das Domjubiläum zuständig. Für die Möglichkeit, dieses Gespräch zu führen, bedanke ich herzlich das Team von Hallo Halle. So, can you firstly introduce yourself? What are you doing and who are you and what are you doing for this Dom Jubiläum, for this anniversary of Dom, for this project?
My name is Maria Wozzi. I'm an independent filmmaker from Greece. I focus mostly on screenwriting. I create characters and stories and everything that includes, like. And everything started like with Dom to House. Like everything started in 2018. I don't know if you talked already about that with the rock on the group with Blau Versuch, like the Blue Trial. It was like Rocco was in the Dom and he was about to make like a project with putting blue clothes on the benches. Like that was my first contact with him about, oh, I'm doing something in Dom zu Halle. I didn't even know where's Halle. Like, I didn't know where's the Dom, everything. This little trigger was this project. And it didn't have to do something with, like, the fact that I'm a filmmaker. I was just triggered and I was like, what's that? And I was here and he asked me if I can maybe want to, like, do something. And I remember I sent, like, a blue pants on a Christian Orthodox bell.
Wow, okay.
Like completely abstract. And I think then he took the same pants and put them in the Dome, like on the bench. There are some pictures from this. So that's why then this had connection with like the blue psalm of Wilhelm. Like that was my first connection with it, and it was good to come back to how it all started, like up to today, because there has been a long time in between. And yeah, I feel very thankful to keep on with this linear narrative and arrive here. That was kind of like I traveled fast.
Okay, and in this project, in this previous project, you didn't make a movie, or did you? Did you?
That in 2019 we're talking now in the Dom zu House, it was called. That was where I met Henriette and Angelica and Gustav. Again, it was like I was invited from Rocco in Utah. Bishop, and I was like, I didn't still know what I will do. It was like there was a lot of dialogues and discussions, And it was the first time that I visited the dome, like really, and stayed there. And I was like, I don't have much relationship with church. Like in Greece, it's actually like, you know, Christian Orthodox, but either you are like a believer, either not. And if you are not, you face a lot of like, let's say, problems with your like social life and stuff. And I was like, wow, this is like overwhelming and frightening, like the place in itself. And then came like the whole thing with like bringing like a story that I had in mind with Will that played, and everything happened in one day for this, like for this project, this small film that we made happened in one day. And then everybody made their own little like Henrietta and Angelica made a performance, Rocco made an installation, Gustav made like a projection. And it was like a combination. It was not like this year that we decided to make something together. So mm-hmm. that's also something new. And there was a small process of like, I don't know, befriending the dome, which still frightens me. It's like super, how to say, it creates a lot of strange feelings. Like it's like a universe. I don't really have words to describe what this place does, but we were like one day in the dome and this film was born. And then I edited during this week we were in Halle. And maybe now we'll jump to this. I pictured this question that you said about religion and art. And I said, if I want to tell you something, it's about the benches in the dome. Mm-hmm. You have been there, right?
Yes, yes.
Unneeded question, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, so, but just some people maybe have not been there, but just, yeah, like tell about it.
Yeah, I don't ask, you know, like personal stuff, like where do you live and stuff. I would ask things that I they are forgiven, but I want to make sure. And so the bench is in the dome. I went there and I didn't know about how the people that they work there and live there and believe there, how they see the object. Like I had my own perspective, and that's a topic that I'm really into, like the different perspectives and how you can get out of your own. What is the stimuli that can make you see things differently? Because generally it's something that doable, mm-hmm. but when you are about to do it, you see that even if you're like super open-minded, it doesn't happen. And this bench was like a trigger, because we were there and I said to Will, the actor of the film, just like, I will film you and just like interact with the with the dome, with the altar and everything. And we were all a little bit like, you know, intimidated by the size and the stone, and like mostly like this feeling of being somewhere that it's not, you're not outside anymore, you're somewhere in another planet, let's say, like in a vessel or something. Mm-hmm. And we were not moving much, like we were just sitting there. And at some point we like sit on a bench, and then we all felt that we wanted to come closer to the altar somehow. So like he was sitting there, and then suddenly he took the bench mm-hmm. and like moved it to the direction of the altar. But we realized that the bench was like really really heavy. It is like 100 kilos, as an maybe it's 80. Sorry, okay. If I'm not exactly.
Yeah, nobody knows.
I feel like the second act of this short film, let's say, it's him moving the bench to the direction of the altar. And I was very touched when the people came to see the film mm-hmm. in the dome, that some of them were shocked by the fact that we moved the bench.
Because it's like sacred or something.
Yes,
like
and mm-hmm. I felt I was in a mixture of like I never thought that, okay, this is an object that you cannot move and change. And then, I don't know if you have seen in the pictures, then we decided to move the benches and put a big table.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very touched because I realized that, like, I needed to spend more time and, like, see the place also from the point of view of, like, people that respect this bench in a different way than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I found it very touching, and I was like, if there's something about, like, religion, is to understand what things mean for people, even though maybe I don't understand their narrative or I don't believe in the same thing, to like sit down and have a dialogue and try to see even for some seconds like this different view.
Mm-hmm.
This like triggers me a lot.
Okay. And would you say that is it something, it's like a cultural difference, or is it just a difference between the people? I mean, you come from Greece, you have an Orthodox religion, let's say, and here it's like also a small evangelical but reformed church, so it's like a really small...
I learned a lot about through this mm-hmm. project. I learned a lot, and, you know, I was not so educated in terms of, like, differences in the Protestantic church and stuff, and I feel grateful to meet people that, you know, I was able to talk. And they were open, and I was like, oh, you know, I have a different view. And it was just giving and taking, like, differences. And as you say, I believe, this is like a strong word, but I think that the character of a person, like, plays an important role in the cultural, how it sets the cultural difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there can be one, but the way you receive it and the way you reflect on it is, like, sets the standards. Like, maybe it's, like, about food.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you tell me, I don't know, oh, what's that? Like, I don't eat garlic and, like, it's horrible. And I tell you, oh, I love garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a more, like, down-to-earth way to see that, like, the character plays also a part. Because it's the way you express it. It's like, it could be like, take the garlic from the table now, I don't want to see it. Or like, oh, you can have it next to me and we can, like, find a way to share the moment, even though, you know. So I think it's, like, there's no black or white. Like, cultural differences are made from people.
Yeah, so everything's about people, yes.
Culture is not, like, a thing in itself. I think the character is, like, to the point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the brain, like how the brain opens or closes when something is new for your software.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a software and then somebody comes and, like, you're like, wow, what's that? Like,
true.
The reaction is triggering also to me, and I appreciate a lot this like project and the chance I have to be in the dome,
mm-hmm.
and like move a bench, you know, like this touches my heart a lot, like, because it makes you feel that you don't know stuff.
No, true. It's like a new discovery. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice feeling of like, oh, there are people that they do things differently, of course, and like. It's not about forcing views and stuff. It's about finding a way to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this has to do a lot with the stone.
Okay.
Like, it's under... So, should I continue talking? You can interrupt me anytime.
Okay. I'm like, but you told me... Yes. But you told me about the stone. Maybe we can go, like, smoothly to the project which comes this year at Dom Jubileum. So in the beginning of July, there will be an exhibition, and you are a part of the group with people you already mentioned, and you are doing a movie, as I know. But mm-hmm. maybe you can tell more about this project, about what you're doing from Greece, and mm-hmm. What the idea and your ideas.
The The trigger of the project is a stone, and it was mostly this number, the 750 years. Like, I thought of like going back to check what was happening there, and we talked with Rocco and Angelica and Henriette and Gustav, and there was this thing of Albrecht that he collected a lot of like relics and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and like objects and paintings. And at some point, Luther was like, okay, now you have to go. It doesn't work like that here. So, and I thought of this guy being like there and thinking practically, how am I going to move all of this stuff out of the dome? And I had this image like of so much like concrete space and stone and like hard to move things. And everywhere here, there are a lot of stones. Like, it's a stony place. Like, if you want to dig a hole, you have to suffer. And there was this idea of like connecting, like seeing the place from a point of view of a stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started. Like, and then we had a lot of talks and like, you know, virtual
meetings.
Communication. Yeah, I'm not so good at virtual communications. I'm sorry, guys.
So, no problem.
No, I'm also sorry for you know, because it was really challenging to find a good pace and like synchro and coordinate. But in the end, I think like this project is something, can be something really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's in a good way. And this film was born mostly of this idea of the point of view of a stone and the excavation and like going under to see things and not like stay on what it looks like. So I don't know if you're interested to hear like details of how the idea of the film is going, because it's still in process.
I know only Rocco told me something like you were sending stones from Greece to to Germany. Is it true?
Yes. I was going to the mountains and hills around here and like finding a lot of stones and sending pictures. And they were like, oh, it was mostly like talking about stones. Like, this was like a very nice, I don't know, dialogue. I would say dialogue. And they were like, oh, can you send closer? Can you send a different stone? So I was like, I spent maybe like 2 weeks going to places around here and being like looking down for stones. And I went to the Ancient Theater that is like 2 kilometers from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the two biggest in Greece. It can host like 17,000 people. So you
wow.
get the shot. So I went there and I was only looking at stones and sending pictures. And then in the end, last week, they printed the surfaces of the stone and like in a lot of A4 papers, and they glued. And it was kind of magic. And I was receiving pictures of a gigantic stone being created from the little stones that I sent them from here.
So it's good, beautiful. Stone. It is a Greek stone, which is now in like a huge Greek stone, which is now in Dom.
it's overwhelming, like as a thought. And the way they made it, like, I'm impressed, honestly. Like, good idea.
That's true. And what is about your movie for this project? What are you doing there?
It's about like for the moment. Like, 1 month ago, I thought to go. Like, we have a lot of destroyed cabins here, like cabins made of stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a character. That I use the past tense because I've changed, like every day there comes a different like thought, And it was like about a collage of characters digging stones in different places, about their relationship with the stone. And at the moment, it's like, it's an ongoing process. Like I filmed some material, and it's the relationship of like the stone with the character. And then if it's gonna be like a loop or a narrative of, or a linear narrative or a voiceover, this is still a question mark. It's like, the type of this project was also for me this jump to the unknown. Like I go to the place, like there's a cabin and it's like charged with a lot of feelings, because it was like, I don't know, in the Second World War, it like helped a lot of people to survive, and now it's destroyed, and you feel a lot of like
emotions.
Things.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
When you stand like on the ruins, like it's only stone, like bigger or smaller, and the film is about this trip to different like places where stones have been charged with like a holy concept, but wholly redefined from each situation, because a holy stone could be for somebody a stone that helps him to survive, like I don't know, a bomb or like a war, or like, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm still very taken by that, and filming wise, it has affected also this idea of a script that is like, oh, I write the script and I go and I make it. Because I was exposed to many different places, and I was like, oh, I have this idea. And then I was like, oh, but I would love to ask this old woman from the village, how was her way to her house when everything was stones and it was dark and everything. And yeah, it's still an ongoing process that will end maybe like in 2 weeks. And okay. I let it a little bit open, because I don't want to finish this questioning.
So it's like, and I imagine it like the connection between let's say, a sacred, a holy stone in Greece, because like not in religious, not in directly religious way. Yeah. And this sacred, holy, really old building here in Halle, which is also full of stones and had also this reliquian things from Albrecht, like 500 years ago. And you have this you're making this connection between the things. Yes, like how you
That's the trial.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the aim. I hope it works.
It will.
Like, because it's hard. Like it's a hard connection. And everybody will receive it in a different way. That's the like nice like part of this project.
Or maybe I will go directly to this question. I have always this question. Do you want, what reaction do you want from on this project, on your movie, or on the, the whole work of your team?
this is like a tricky question, because the moment that we make this, and I don't talk only about me, because we make it at the moment. I will make the film, but still I have in mind like the guys like Rocco, Henrietta and Gustavo and Angelic. Every time I do something, although we're like, okay, I make the film in Greece, I try to coordinate my vision with what the whole concept is. And this is like, this makes them a crowd already. From my point of view, because I want that they find something in it, because we said we don't get like stuck in, oh, I want to make this, because sometimes this happens when you make something, you get lost in your own narratives and ideas about the world, and you want this or that to be visible, and you want to be sometimes loud and say, look, like I see the stuff like this, and that's also nice, but this time I feel that I expect like a dialogue. I don't want to force something, or like it's mostly about changing perspectives. Like yesterday, I was thinking a lot when I read your questions. I was thinking a lot about this. Why am I doing this? This like trip with the stones and film. And I think I'm always thinking how you step on a stone, for example, because sometimes it's invisible and you don't think that the stone, you know, might feel you stepping on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to think mostly about other perspectives. Like in this month, also pandemic wise and everything wise, it's like how to see things not from only from like a human centered way, and like there are so many other views, and sometimes it needs effort to get out of this centered from, you know, like, oh, I see this, because it's only one view.
Yeah,
and I think most of the times it's very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe you have to think of the stone that you step on.
Yeah, it's very metaphorical in many senses. Also, if we speak about pandemic situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope people will take much from this project when they see it in a couple of weeks already, yes?
It's a process.
Yeah.
So the expectation is like to open a dialogue, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the moment.
And can you tell more about how you communicated in your team between different countries, between in this pandemic situation?
It started with a Zoom call in December, I think. Everything was very fresh. And I didn't even have Zoom in my computer.
Now you have.
I was a little bit like, in the beginning, I was a little bit anti. Oh, I don't want to use this now that it's kind of forced. And I was a little bit thoughtful. And then I was like, okay, I will try to do it, like Zoom-wise. I referred to that because it played a role later, that we continued the virtual communication. And sometimes I felt like it was too much to receive all this information, creative wise, from one screen. It was like data from, you know, faces and data, and I felt it was like pleasing to see, but at the same time it felt like not being able to grasp this moment of like when you are in a room with the same people, and you say you talk about the stone and ideas or whatever, and there is this kind of moment that you feel that you make something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time that I did something like so, like virtually, and in some calls I was not even there.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes because it was too late here. It was like 11 in Greece, and we met, and they met at 10. And I felt it was like challenging.
Okay.
If we are talking about me, because I'm like, I can only talk about myself. Sorry. No, I felt it was like challenging.
But because of internet or because of distance?
Because of different time frames.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it was new. I never did it. I mostly love filmmaking because of this immediate contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you meet and you talk, and maybe you lose like one day and nothing of what you say makes sense, but you're there and you try to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And in the call you can't just stay there like 5 hours because you have other stuff to do. You are very present, but you have to bring everything in this frame, and I felt that like this was very new for me.
Okay.
Like I didn't have any mechanisms to be like, I didn't It was a part of the project in the end.
Okay, so you learned something from it also, kind of, from this, from these frames, from this internet connection.
I only learned something from it.
Okay.
Like communication-wise and like everything. Like, and I'm surprised with what we managed to make with all these difficulties.
Okay.
Like, really. And it turns out that when you stay consistent, and like you don't give up, even if like sometimes you're like, okay, maybe this is not a good idea, maybe that's hard, it works in the end most of the times. Like it's a feeling, how to say, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And in the beginning of pandemic, you've been to Berlin. Maybe let's speak about your connection to Germany, how you I don't know any background here.
You want to know about my first contact with Germany, or like how, why did I came there?
For example, like, yes. In general, what did you do in Germany? What project did you do? Yes.
Sorry, I'm sorry to speak on you.
No.
I went to Berlin in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was working in a feature film as a writer, and we got funding,
mm-hmm.
and I went there to write, basically. But okay. You had to go to Berlin.
Okay, like a scholarship.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, like and that was my first contact. And then after this project was over, I found this, you know, time being in Berlin and not leaving, and that was my first connection to Germany. Work-wise, I've also worked in like other fields, like apart from film, during the years. But Germany in itself, maybe I can't talk because I've only lived in Berlin.
Okay.
And you know, like I also say that Berlin, it doesn't really represent Germany.
That's somehow true.
So maybe I would say I've experienced Berlin.
Okay.
As a city, and that's why I'm super grateful to be in Halle now. Because of this like to be in Halle, invisible presence.
But the last time you've been in Halle, I mean 2 years ago, you've been a couple of days.
I was in the dorm mostly.
Okay.
And I want to come back to the dorm and see the people like near, and yeah.
Okay. But you've been living in Berlin since 2013, or
let's say it was Christmas 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like a little bit back and forth,
mm-hmm.
to Athens and everything, and then I lived there like yes.
Okay.
Until yeah, but there was a month when I had a job in Greece. Mm-hmm. I was in Greece.
Okay.
Like so.
But like Berlin based, so to say.
Yes. Okay. Somehow, yes.
Okay. And what were your impressions about Halle in general? And about Dom, we spoke a bit.
Halle, the city of Halle.
Yes.
I come from a small city.
Mm-hmm.
It has 100,000 people, and I felt more comfortable in Halle
than in Berlin. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Because as we stayed in the center and in the dome, I immediately found this familiarity with like making your own hood and finding, oh, I go there to eat, or I cross the same streets and everything. But to be honest, I haven't been to the places I haven't visited any other places in Halle than the Dome.
Okay.
that's strange. but I would love to do it. And there's one thing that I still keep in memory. I know maybe it doesn't make sense, but it's like this Wasser stand you have for the stream, for the river. It has to do with stones also. There's like when the water falls lower than it should, there's on the wall from the medieval times, it says like Wasser stand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I
they know it.
They know it.
Yes, yes. Okay, it's famous apparently.
I found it like very this is my memory from Halle. I know it's a bit weird maybe.
No, it's good.
But from the little walks in this week that we had there, I found this connection with like the past. You can feel it a lot. Like this feeling of something happened here and I have to like dig and find out. You can feel the touch of other people on places.
Mm. Okay, there is full of history.
If you have anything to recommend, I'm open.
When you come back, we need to do it. Yes, we need to go somewhere.
Please. And,
yes.
Apart from the dome.
That's true.
There is a lot of space in the dome. You can only move inside there and feel like you move like in the city, but yeah. So yes, this answer means I have to go a little bit around in Halle. Thanks for asking.
True. You need to come to the... You said something in the beginning about the dome was so, I don't know, epic, and you were afraid of dome, afraid of this space, yes? And the guys before in the last podcast, let's say, in our conversation, they said something like more something else, like this is a living room for them because of the last or third project for some of them. For you also, it's kind of a third project actually because of Rocco, yes. And I found it very interesting that you're like you take this space differently. You were like you have much respect of this place, and they are like more, I don't know, familiar with it. I don't know what you can say. What can you say?
I'm not familiar with Dom Johale. Like every time I enter, I think even if I come back, I feel it's a vast universe that I don't understand. I don't understand how they built it. Why is it so big? Why you feel so like different than when you enter another like high ceiling domes? Mm-hmm. I think it has something I feel somehow like not I wouldn't say intimidated, like how you go on a mountain and you feel intimidated by the size. Mm-hmm. And it feels natural because this brings balance to your behavior against this, like your behavioral, how to say, pattern. Mm-hmm. I don't go in the dome and I'm like, oh, now I'm gonna have a nap. I go in the dome and I feel like triggered by everything, and like I have so many questions. And for me, the fact that I feel it like home has to do only with this magic feeling of being with other people in a place. Like this is the point where I find a path to say, okay, this place might feel like home. And I start maybe to have questions about why is it so big? Like maybe because when you gather there with other people, you feel like a union. Mm-hmm. Or you feel like when you like hold the hand of somebody in this place, immediately the place changes. And like if it's a religious ritual, then this place becomes something different. And maybe this is the moment where I say, okay, I feel scared, but when I start to like calm down and find narratives, the place changes. This is maybe somehow an answer.
Okay. No,
I don't know if it's an answer, but I still feel like that is immense, how to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's my memory is like entering, and my heart is like beats faster. It has like a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And like when Gerard played there the organ,
mm-hmm.
I have this memory like it was once kind of like informal. Oh, I will play now. It felt like you're in the ocean. And yeah. Like whales were like screaming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this memory of this place like being underwater or something. But
it's a very beautiful image when you speak about it, I think.
Yeah, so maybe the stone is a way to communicate like with the dome as a place, because it has absorbed so many voices and pain of people that go there, and like maybe happiness or sadness or cries or laughs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Dome and the stones of Dome, they have seen it all, so to say.
Yes, the whole history. Is like, if you put your hand on the stone, maybe you feel like the temperature of another person, like in the prehistoric caves.
Yeah, true.
Like this need to stay, this need to let your, how to say, your story. That's why I feel I have to say that about like how grateful I feel to that the door was open for, like I come from a completely different background and like the door was open for me there, and I could create. And like, this is something that I could never do in a Greek Orthodox church. Like, never, never, ever. Like, it's, yeah, it's something, really.
Okay.
Like, this is hopeful.
Mm-hmm. It's also a question then, should like religion and church, should they be more open, let's say? Should be like, should it be more connection with art and with some artistic projects?
Yeah, I always think if I'm the right person to ask these questions, because I have this view of like, yes, when you're more open and you receive and you think from a point of view of like loving things and not like being hostile and forcing your view and dogmatic, I think when the doors are open, you have a chance at least to like show more empathy to differences,
mm-hmm.
cultural differences, every kind of difference. And I think if you could do something like that in the Greek Orthodox Church, like if the door was open, this would show also like a wish to accept. Like, there's not even this wish. Like, mm-hmm. doors are closed. We accept you only if you, you know, if you follow this pattern. And I think, yes, that there should be a way to access these places also if you're not following some religious patterns, for example.
Yeah, true.
Mostly as a thinking place, or like a... you know, like a redefinition of respect and love and like openness, mm-hmm. somehow. I think that's the only way, honestly, the only way to approach situations. Okay. And listening. Like, thanks also for listening to my stuff for like more than 40 minutes. this is the way, like listening and like for a moment being silent, entering places. And being like, oh, I believe that and that and that and that. And then you don't have the time to listen. Maybe you are right, you know, but you will never know if you don't listen. Like, maybe you want to prove that you are right, and maybe somehow you are. And like, who cares in the end? Like, I care to feel like loved in a place, and that I'm able to give at least the love inside places that, like the Dom zu Halle, that they are cold somehow. Mm-hmm. When you close the light there, forget about it. You're like, I'm not staying here. Last time it was like kind of scary inside there.
Scary, okay. I hope it will be not so scary this time, yes. For the people who are coming for also for to see your movie also, yes, later.
Yeah, it will be, I hope so. I really hope so that it goes well and that people enjoy and people think people the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was nice. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this conversation. And I hope you will come to Halle then in the next time.
Thanks for hoping. I hope the same. And I thank you for being there now, doing this job. And like, I thank all the people that make the technical stuff and give their time. And I really wish that you, that we can have more dialogues like that.
Na, das war genau das Richtige für dich? Dann hör doch einfach beim nächsten Mal wieder rein. Wir freuen uns auf dich.